or commercial. You can always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Every mind has to place principles before personality.
Thanks, Bill. And our speaker this morning is Ralph C. from the Poconos.
Good morning, everybody. I'm an addict named Ralph. It's really good to be here. Thank you guys for hanging out. You know, it's always usually like a crime scene after the Sunday thing. Everybody's just scrambled to get home, and I appreciate you guys sticking around. I gotta say, I'm here by God's grace and His mercy. I don't just say that because it sounds good, or, you know, I truly know that through the love that I received through this fellowship, that's why I'm still here. I attribute, you know, being alive to that, to the love that flows in here. And, you know, it's been a great weekend. It shows what the power, that groups still have the power, you know. I guess this was like two groups that, you know, through spaghetti dinners and, you know, things like that, and, you know, put this stuff together. So I want to thank the committee and Dan for, you know, having the confidence to ask me to come up here and share. I still think he only asked me because I'm a Steeler fan. Yeah. But, you know, I think we should acknowledge all these people that worked hard and give them a hand. You know, I'm kind of like, and when Vito was sharing, you know, I was born in Brooklyn, I grew up in the Bronx, and, you know, I got to, my story is like a keep coming back story, because I got to witness a lot of the stuff that everybody was sharing up here, being that I was in New York, then I was in PA, and, you know, now I'm in Florida. You know, everything from the stuff they talked about Bernstein in New York City to, you know, I was around in Allentown when there was a war going on with Billy and the Blue Book. You know, and I always try to make peace. I remember we were having a pig roast. And this guy, sanitation man, he was taking it like really hard that Billy was going around with these big books, and, you know, his little gang of people showed up from the Bronx, these savage nomads, real dirty bikers, and I thought, oh my God, this is not going to be pretty. You know, Billy was there and all this stuff, and, you know, my sponsor always taught me to bring peace to chaos, not chaos to chaos. You know, addicts, you know, if you get a little better, we stop trying to instigate stuff and try to, you know, bring peace to a situation, not, you know, because all our lives we were like, you know, instigating stuff, right? You know, I, in 1985, I was going to meetings in the Bronx, and there was 7 meetings in the Bronx at that time. And it was hard. You know, I had to take a train and a bus. It was like walking the gauntlet. I mean, all the cop spots, all the places where I bought syringes. I mean, you know, and I really couldn't, you know, I mean, I got 60 days. I got 30 days. I got, you know, all this. You know, picking up white chips, and, you know, I just kept coming, and it was a scary time, because, you know, that's when that first wave of HIV came through, which, you know, from 1 week to the next, half the room would be gone, and, you know, at that point, I didn't know I had the virus, You know, I think I tested about a year later, and you know, I don't know how. You know, I do know how. I mean, it was God that gave me the courage to continue to do this, because pretty much everybody that I used with died. You know, and a lot of people that I know from, you know, Allentown, you know, the people that were living with this and some other things. I have a picture, and like me and my sponsor, which he didn't have the virus, but he has he had the liver problem. I'm the only ones left in this picture out of all these people. It was kind of, I don't know how I ended up taking the picture of all, like, you know, 15, 20 guys that had, you know, this thing that we deal with. So, you know, I tell people, like, I have an edge. Whenever I get, you know, really jammed up, man, I could inventory myself out of it, making a gratitude list. And the first thing is, you know, that I'm clean, I'm alive. You know, and God has put some really good people, you know. Each one of you has touched me, you know. You know, even Billy. Billy was like, you know, Billy, the thing, like, he used to come, he shared at a celebration, and I remember saying, you know, these are the things we don't do no more, right? He says, we get the newcomer's number and call them. You know, now it's like, you know, we give the number and expect, you know. I mean, pretty much the people that we sponsor or that I sponsor are really saving my life. You know, and you know, Denny and, you know, the people that get sick of this program are, you know, it's hard for them to keep connected. And, you know, I want to, you know, just, I always thank God for, you know, because this is my meaning and purpose, you know. There's really nothing else that, I mean, God spared us all, you know. If you don't, if you can't see that you, when they, that line that they put in there, we were slowly committing suicide, they just didn't put it, that in there for lack of a better word. You know, I have many near-death experience, cops poking me in the head with pistols, and, you know, just crazy stuff coming off at, you know, the drug spots, and, you know, that's all evidence of a higher power in my life that got me through. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you do have a, you know, a chronic illness or terminal illness or not. We do have a illness that's progressive. What's the second word? Incurable and fatal. That, you know, those are not light words. Fatal is pretty definite, you know. I mean, that's, you know, and you know, finding the courage to live. You know, each day, you know, we each got to make that commitment and renew our faith and ask for the courage to, you know, and get through another 24 hours. Because that seems to be, you know, what gets lost in the sauce with us, you know. Because we got all this stuff coming on. So, you know, it's like they always say, like, if you don't get away from the basics, you never got to go back to them. You know, so, you know, like, my home group in Florida is the essence of God's will. I'm still, you know, doing, you know, service, because the people in my sponsorship chain showed me that's how we stay clean. Whether it's, you know, I used to hear that making coffee was the highest form of service because it was the most humble. And, you know, we do go on. Everybody finds their niche and this and that. I've done, you know, what all the other stuff that we do. But I'm working one-on-one with a newcomer and greeting them and creating an atmosphere where they feel safe to talk about what they do and don't like about themselves is, like, real important. And that's you know, that's what we got to continue to do. I didn't take medication for the first 10 years. And I, you know, got the beginnings of what happens with people, you know, with the virus, you know. Because there was nothing really out. There was ADT. And, you know, I started getting, you know, with AIDS, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Whether it's your asshole, your eyes, your brain, skin lesions, your mouth. I mean, it's just a, you know, and all these things were the beginnings, you know. I was in the hospital for about a month. And I thought it was checkout time. You know, but I was, thank God for this fellowship, you know. By this point, I had gotten, you know, my kids back, which I had signed a piece of paper, signed because their mother was using, and I had signed this piece of paper. It wasn't notarized, but I signed this piece of paper, you know, leaving them to my father and his wife. And, you know, thank God that, you know, I just really say through the love, you guys just kept loving me, man, when I, you know, felt like there was no hope, you know, and that's, we got to keep, you know, doing that. And we developed these relationships. I think the main thing is, you know, we work the steps and we get to see each other as a child, you know, because we do go back as far as we can. And, you know, me and Ralph were talking and, you know, we shared some personal stuff, you know, coming up, because that's where a lot of our stuff lies, right? Because it talks about, we believe that every addict, including the potential addict, that's the addict that hasn't picked up yet, right, suffers from a disease, mind, body, and spirit. And if you do what you got to do in here, you're going to realize, you know, long before you picked up that drug, you know, you'll see. And so, you know, we unlock parts of our subconscious through doing the steps, especially the fourth and fifth. And we connect. That's when we really connect with each other at a deeper level. And then that, you know, the never alone thing kicks in, because we know we have each other's cares and concerns at heart. I know people that are in this process that have stayed clean, you know, when they go through their meditation, if they're atheists or whatever, or if they do pray, they have people that they go through. You know I go through a list of people. And, you know, the literature talks about our negative sense of self is replaced by a positive care and concern for others. You know, I'm real grateful that, you know, they talk about when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I used with 4 years clean, even though, you know, in March I'll have 19 years, God willing. And I went out for one day, but I was living, I was not sharing about, you know, I was scared to talk about freely what I had. And I rationalized all this stuff in my head, so I was still doing behaviors, talking clean, living dirty. So I was going back from the Poconos to the Bronx, pretty much looking, my rationalization, I'm looking for my future wife, tricking in the street. Because I'm thinking, she's, you know, she's shooting drugs, she's tricking, she's got to be, you know, this is how low my self-esteem was. I'm thinking, nobody's going to want me. And people that know my area is here, so they could, they'll keep me honest. And, you know, and I just say this because, you know, I was still sick back then. I was, you know, my that defect did get me into a corner that I didn't get out of clean. The thing is that I almost pulled it off. I grabbed this only white girl that was on Jerome Avenue in the Bronx. I brought her back, and, I'm not going to go through all the details, but from the Bronx to Pennsylvania, we got busted with two bundles of dope and I don't know how many grams of coke, and the miracle was the cop knew, you know, like I was taking this girl to treatment. He put the shit in my hand and told me to throw it away. And, you know, I got into the treatment facility and, you know, this is after a 48-hour ordeal. And they missed some of the drugs. And after I get her in, my father was a diabetic. And, you know, there was the drugs, there was the syringes. I was exhausted, you know, and it was pretty much, you know, I guess I still was so scared that I couldn't, you know, wasn't going to continue to face life, and I chose to use. You know, it's always a choice. So now this girl's in rehab, and I had promised her all this stuff, and I said, oh, fuck, she's fucked now. And it was the year of the 93 snowstorm. We got 3.5 feet of snow in the Poconos. But, you know, she did do what she had to do. Went to treatment, went to a halfway house, came out, got clean, and we stayed together almost 10 years. And she helped a lot of people in the area. But then she started, you know, having operations and, you know, started using again, and I was in denial. People were telling me she's using, and, you know, I finally, you know, got with it, and my sponsor said, you're the last person that's going to help her, and I had to let go. You know, and that's real painful. You know, just as painful when I had to tell my son, you know, he couldn't come home. You know, through this process, I watched my son, you know, I got them through high school, the both of them. I say we raised them because they grew up in the rooms. I mean, these are all things I could only attribute to God and the love fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous for me to be, you know, raise two kids, you know, and get them through high school and, you know, even though one went the gangster route, you know, but he's doing good now. He just got out of prison. He's doing real good. You know, that's our Achilles heel for those of us that have children. For me, it is anyway. But I continue to put him in God's care like I was taught with everything else. I still literally put out my hands and say, God, take this. I can't handle this. You know, I'm one of them guys like surrender. The war's over. You know, you got to throw your hands up. You know, so I continue to, you know, stay close. And, you know, we had a strong sponsorship chain, and people nursed me through those things. You know, and I kept showing up. I mean, you know, I lost a good sponsee throughout that process because I shut down. You know, there was different things that were going on, and I felt like, you know, my disease thinking was telling me, you know, everybody knew this was because she started cheating on me and all this stuff. And, you know, I had to get honest with all this stuff. You know, I mean, you know, and this is about really forgiving the past. You know, we work the steps and we realize when we let others off the hook, we let ourselves off the hook. And that's real big, because I see the people that did not fare well living with whatever they had with were still living in that, you know, resentment and that hatred. And when you have stuff like that going on, you never open up a channel to heal. You know, so I think I've been fortunate, you know. And, you know, I'm just one of them guys that, you know, the only time I have humility is when I say I have none, right? You know, I'm supposed to be a spiritual. You know, I'm not, you know, I guess, you know, I could say I'm spiritual because I got, you know, spirituality. I don't know if that makes any sense, but, you know, I don't take credit for nothing. You know, that's like a double-edged sword. You know, I give all the credit and nothing, because that's dangerous, you know. Oh, you know, because it's really, you know, my best thinking got me here. You know, I, you know, with the people I got with, there was a rough crew. And they, you know, like they said, they hurt my feelings, told me the truth, and saved my life. You know, they put me on the Shit for Brains program. And I've been on that program ever since. And I'm okay with that, you know. And, you know, people don't like that, because I had people say, just raise your hand, it is all I know. And I said, I tell my guy sponsor, just raise your hand, my name is so-and-so, and I got shit for brains. So, now people, you know, they come out, oh, you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't, you know, God don't make no junk, and, you know, it's not, you know, it's just a recognition that, you know, we need to invite God into everything we do. You know, when we start running on our own juice or trying to cover all the bases, we don't leave no room for a higher power to act in our lives. You know, I mean, right now is the most, everything, you know, in recovery, whatever you try to do, because we're always looking for the next fix, even if we're clean. In recovery, all our distractions will get removed, and God will get us alone at some point. You know, whatever we use, because we all use something. You're sitting in this room, you use something to keep from going crazy. You know, whatever that is, that's between you and your sponsor. Whether it's porn or, you know, wherever you're at, with whatever you're doing, that's fine. Don't use, right? You know, I think, you know, kind of like, you know, for every 5 years of clean time, we might have a year of recovery in there. You know, and some people may disagree with that. But, you know, the first step talks about any time we feel ourselves wanting to change the way we feel, we need to practice the principles of the first step. Now, do we always do that? And you sit back and answer. You know, what is it that you do when you're feeling uncomfortable? What is it you choose to go to? You know? But it gets better. I was telling somebody, you keep coming around here till you realize the it they was talking about is you. Because life, you know, I think we have this illusion that, you know, if we keep doing the right thing and this and that, at some point, life, on life terms, is gonna, you know, be, you know, it's not gonna stop, y'all. It's not gonna stop. And, you know, the message that we heard all weekend here was people, that well with God and a higher power never runs dry. You know? So that's where we continue to turn to. And when I talk about that, it means, like, you know, relying on each other, you know, because I don't have a tree that, you know, this tree or whatever. God speaks to me through Dan, through other people, you know, but I have to be honest and share. You know, what one of the things that makes us addicts is our inability to communicate our feelings, you know. I really believe that. We're scared to, you know, really say, you know, what's going on. So, you know, that's when we get in the relationships and we don't truly, can't be intimate because, you know, I've learned my lesson. You know, when I hear a woman tell me that she feels alone, there's a red flag. Because I was like a closed book for most of my, you know, clean time because of stuff that was going on with my son. You know, I had signed over my kids, and they were stable, but I moved near them, and, you know, I became part of their life, and father and son, they, you know, chaperoned at all the school stuff. This is at about 4 years, but then about 4 years, you know, I found out that my stepbrother was molesting my other son. This is the one that started acting out and going to prison. And, You know, my father, who was 15 years in AA, took me to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in the Bronx. His people in Brooklyn, they were hardcore. And he said, don't bring them here. Take them to Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, and I got to make amends, you know, to talk to my father and all. And but then, you know, they turned on me because of the denial. They didn't want to believe that this happened. And I really had to just get out the way, let children and youth, you know, handle this situation. So we end up in court. And, you know, they said all these things about me. I'm a bad father. I have AIDS and all this other shit. And it was pretty, you know, but people in the fellowship were there, you know. People in the fellowship was there to give me the courage to, you know. And by this time, you know, they had a psychiatrist take my inventory, right? They brought me and the kids, you know. And but by this time, I had all this stuff that showed that I was a productive member, you know, and how I show. And when they asked these kids who you want to be with, they said that my father, you know, and I won. And, you know, right after that, me and my father both went to the hospital. That's when I ended up in the hospital, you know, with some things. And he was going through some heart stuff. And I knew it was going to kill one of us because he knew. But his wife and the other people, they did not want to accept that this went on, you know. I mean, this is all I could really say. Other than, if I talk about anything else, I'll be bullshitting. How people showed up, like my sponsor in the hospital. You know, another time I was in the hospital, he came in and with other people and they held hands. He was big on We're All Connected, you know, Jimmy B. And he puts a light bulb in his mouth and he holds everybody's hand and the fucking light bulb lights up. You know what I mean? I mean, this is the type of, you know, and that's what, you know, I mean, my sponsor, you know, he taught me right now we're all here, but there's really only one of us in here, you know, because we're all part of each other, you know. He taught me the true meaning of anonymity, you know. It talks about anonymity in action renders defects and personalities powerless, you know. It means like we're all the same. So if we don't see each other as different, we won't have a problem with each other. You know, this is all good information because it was always about if I hurt you, I'm hurting myself. If I'm loving you, I'm loving myself. You know, and that's why it's important that we, you know, maintain this unity, you know. And I was saying, you know, oh, what beautiful unity. And then, of course, say, oh, we got our problems down here, too. You know, some of the guys down here were telling me this, you know. And, but, you know, it's like they say, as long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that will tear us apart, all will be well. And, you know, we got to continue to come together and, you know, really, you know, think about that primary purpose. How can we, you know, we cannot stay clean without giving it away. You know, this thing is laid out so simple. You know, but, you know, we all go through it. We're too busy getting ours and forgetting where we got it. You know, it happens. It happens. We get caught up in this and that and thinking this is going to fill the void, you know. Right? And it's so basic. It's so, so basic. And we've been through it so much, that person, place, or thing that's going to make everything all right. So now we got some clean time, and we seem to fall back into that trap, right? Because that's what starts going on, you know? So I'm very much aware of that. So, you know, I have, you know, where it talks about in the step, have you sacrificed platonic relationships for romantic ones? I mean, mine has been the other way around because, you know, I'm bringing homeless people into my house and, you know, trying to help out. I lose the woman that are trying to be with me. They're like, this can't happen. This can't be, and I just you know, when I see somebody that's willing and needs help, I know that if I can help him and I don't, I'm signing my own death warrant. You know, I took my sponsor in. You know, there's a lot of things going on with him, you know, but I think, you know, until you see him, I think you shouldn't, you know, pass judgment on anybody that gets sick in here. You know, he was a liver guy, and now my next sponsor, which I didn't know when I asked him, he needs a liver and he has the virus. You know, so God knows what I need. I need these power of examples, these people that are, they don't complain, they are just out there just trying to help people. You know, they get through these difficulties, they face in death, and they get through these things, and they're just worried about, how can I help somebody else? You know, and that's, you know, pretty much it. I mean, I think that's why a lot of us are still here. We have put the care and concerns of others ahead of our own. That's what this is about. This is what this is about. And I see it, you know, I see, you know, the love people have for Danny. I met his sponsor, the guys that are like, you know, in his life, and, you know, that's how it always was. I mean, there's always any traffic coming through, you know, there used to be coming through the house, you know, I'm kind of all over this place with this, but I didn't even try to think about what I was going to say, but I just, It was just about giving the credit and just trying to, you know, talk about how important it is to remain in the flow of love that happens in here. I don't know, like, you know, somebody said at one time that, and you can't feel love and fear at the same time. And, you know, and then I know another guy who I respect his recovery, and he kind of said, well, you know, but I really, if you really think about it, you know, the light will always overcome the darkness, man. You know, if we are feeling love, we're not going to feel fear. You know, and I always tell people, remember you're loved. Remember you're loved. You know, because that's what we're always looking to be, loved and understood, right? And that's what we get here. But we just got to allow it to happen. You know, we always talk about, I stayed here to, people loved me till I learned how to love myself. Because I didn't think I was worth taking in no inventory. You know, there was things I shared some deep stuff with Ralph. Danny was saying, where the hell are you guys? Are you hiding, you know? But we were sharing some stuff, you know, that I only shared once in my life with my sponsor, you know? And it's true, we're as sick as our secrets. It took me 10 years to tell my sponsor this one thing that I felt like the scourge of the earth for. You know, we've got to give them up. We've got to give them up. You know, and that happens through developing a relationship you build. Because we're addicts. When it's time to grow in a relationship, pretty much we sever them. You know what I mean? We just, you know, when it's getting deep and hairy, we sever the relationship, you know. But now with the steps and the stuff, we can continue to learn how to be intimate and trust and start sharing, whether it's at the level with our sponsor or our relationships. But, you know, that's the first relationship I had to develop with my sponsor and God. You know, so my sponsor knows everything about me. I'm free. I'm free. You know, and, you know, freedom in that respect is not free. There's work we got to do. So, you know, I've been hearing, like, you know, there's some groups up here, like, you just stay clean. You know, clean and crazy, crazy fucking gets you, believe me. You know? I mean, that's okay. I'm clean and crazy, but at some point, crazy will get you. You know, we aim to the clean and serene, right? That's our goal. You know? But it's okay. It's okay. You know? I just know that whatever you judge anybody in here for, you're going to get a turn. Because that's the main thing that happens in Narcotics Anonymous. You know? You will get a turn. And we all have done it. And we find either we're doing it or we haven't done it, you know. So this is why we really got to not, you know, we got to build each other up. Just like in relationships, we got to build each other up, not tear each other down. You know, this is just information that, you know, I received, and it's spiritually, you know, not in conflict with anything. It's the truth. It goes against, you know, it's the opposite of all my defective thinking. The forgiveness, you know, the empathy, right? What does the literature say? Through empathy, we're able to feel and touch reality. You know, we got some really good literature here, you know. And I'm kind of like, you know, I know what's going on. I'm part of an area, and I was telling Vito this yesterday. When the flow of money stops flowing to world, I think that's when they. And Vito, because I'm, you know, I got down to Florida. This group was dumped in my lap that just started, so they're splitting, and it's not a geographical thing that's happening down there, because they're grabbing groups from Jacksonville and. You know, St. Paul, and it's the Serenity Coast area, and they're not following any structure. The money's not, you know, moving up to region, world. They formed their own area, right? I got down there, and I had to take a group conscience and not dope fiend and say, well, what, you guys want to be in Serenity Coast, or you want to stay with Jacksonville? And they said Serenity Coast. So, like, I have no experience. I mean, this is forming an area, you know. I mean, I know a little bit about that, but I don't know how an area functions without following, you know, the structure of Narcotics Anonymous. So when I'm telling Vito this, you know, he said, whoa, you know, just pray. And he's really, they started a fire. There's a fire out there that started. Now it's going to have to be controlled, right? Because he's telling me, you know, I could see his reaction. Pray, don't, you know, all this stuff. I said, I don't, you know, this is what's going on. You know, and I see him a lot down there. You know, I got to hang out with Bo a lot. Till he won't move to Georgia. You know, Bo was throwing literature on this one meeting, and he caught out for it. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of the stuff that has gone on here, you know. You know, and I thank God for the people that have done the research and put in the time and the archives and, you know, and our predecessors that gave, like, literally their blood. We found out literally they were donating blood here over the weekend, right? I went to the Church on the Mall meeting. They were celebrating their 30 years. They have much more than that. But I'm from New York, so I'm saying, no, they're not the oldest meeting on the East Coast, right? I mean, everything got cleared up for me this weekend. So, you know, I go on eBay, I get the Time article. I was talking to Danny about it, right? And, you know, I found the article. It says, you know, this. There was a meeting, the Salvation Army, and the one Dolly one. And, because I'm from New York, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday I found out there was two Puerto Ricans that helped start this shit. So I'm like, happy as a pig in shit, right? You know? You know, our diversity is our strength, you know? I mean, the guy Jimmy Jimmy, the postman, you know, he did so much. When I relapsed, I ended up celebrating my year. I had to go. I went back to Puerto Rico, and I celebrated my first year, and the girl I was with was the first woman to celebrate, and I saw Jimmy, and they were doing a traditions meeting. I mean, you know, I'm just fortunate that I was able to see a lot of people that were intricate in this, you know. And a friend of ours, the other Bo, whose sponsor was Greg P., you know, so we were getting a lot of information, but, you know, it came together for me this weekend. It was beautiful, you know. Now we know, like, factual stuff, not rumors about this and that. You know, I mean, yeah, of course, some of the stuff, you know, people still have their disputes about. But, you know, I mean, I think somebody had mentioned Egon, you know. I got to, you know, Egon taught me about, you know, sponsoring people. I mean, I just was been fortunate, you know, to get, I don't know, I moved from one different areas, Wilkes-Barre. I know Vito is not full of shit because I know those people up there, and you know, they, you hear about Vito and Vito this and Vito that, and you know, and I had a beautiful sponsorship chain, you know, where, you know, Bob Beast, you know, came, and you know, Bob McKendricks and all these people, you know. So I've been so blessed. And the message was always the same. You know, I took that shit that Vito shared, and I heard him share it at one of our retreats, and I run with it. Because that's how simple it is in the 11th step. What is the highest best for all those involved? You know, so you don't get real caught up in trying to figure out, you know, we're praying for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. You know, we pick up, you know, information. You know, and I didn't realize that there's a second part to that. After I know what, if it's revealed to me, I need to ask for the power to carry. We're going to be given some power now. You know, ain't that some shit? Now we've got some power. We've been powerless so long, and now we're going to be given some power. I mean, you know, that's what we've been waiting for, right? We've been at the mercy of this shit. Our sponsors fucking telling us, you know, mow the lawn or some shit, or, you know. You know, you're sitting here, and you can't wait till you sponsor somebody so you could tell them sit down and shut up, and, you know, all this stuff. And then you realize, you know, you just got to love the person. Honesty without compassion don't mean shit. You know what I mean? So there's all these things that go on. Yeah, we're hardcore, but, you know, we really got to think, you know, because, right, my biggest character defect was self-righteousness. You know? You know, we get self-righteous up in here, and we gotta watch. That's, you know, that's a nasty-ass defect that will alienate you from a lot of people. You know, my crew from Allentown, the Alamo people, I mean, we, you know, with the total abstinence, man, it was like, you know, and I had to go back to a meeting one time and say, listen, I do not want to alienate people here. You know, because I was caught up in that Nazi thing, right, you know, and I felt alone. I did not want to do this to these people regardless of what they were doing. You know, it's like somebody shared, I don't have to like you, but if you're going to use, I damn fucking sure better help you. You know, so, you know, I'm grateful. There's a lot of stuff going on in my life right now. I got stuck in Florida. I missed the mountains. I seem to always have these people that in such crisis and come into my life, but I think God knows when I'm doing me, I suck. I really need to be helping, right? But that's the thing. We want to get to the point where we could do us, right? We just want to, you know, be okay and not, but this is it. You gave up your life for that next one, you know? And it wasn't, let's make a deal recovery when we surrendered, right? It's, you know, because when I prayed and, you know, because when my kids got back into my life and I told my sponsor, God is crazy. for, you know, how is he going to put these kids under my care? You know? And he said, you know, God thinks you're the best man for the job. You know? Shit like that, man, that you, where are you going to get shit like that from? But from somebody that loves you. You know? You know, and I'm watching this man going through hell right now. You know, he's separated from the fellowship. I watched how people have gotten alienated. And I always, you know, I guess because I may be in that position one day, you know, I get upset, you know, how we do people. You know, that, you know, we had a friend of ours, Magali. Fucking, you know, you could see she's dying. AIDS, fucking just ravaging her. The rumors start, she's using, you know, she's got to take pain meds, you know, and then at the end, when she dies, people, oh, poor, I'm like, fuck you, you know, they like, oh, my golly, I'm saying, I love you, but I really don't want to hear that right now, you know, because we're writing all this shit, you know, and I keep thinking, why don't we write about how do we keep these people, even the old timers, maybe you don't even have to have a new one. Keep them involved, right? Because it says the newcomer surrenders to the wisdom of the old-timer and the old-timer surrenders to the vitality, right? The newcomers got some fucking vitality, don't they? Right? We surrender to the vitality of the newcomer, you know? But, you know, this is, you know, things get buck wild around here. And a lot of people just say, you know, you know, it's not the program, you know, like it's the people, you know. I mean, we have the new battle against the new pain management people that are on every corner. In Florida, there are more of them than McDonald's. And people were talking about that, you know, the Suboxone, and they're coming in, and that I haven't never really, you know, I mean, if those pills were around when I, because these guys are robbing the drugstore, and, you know, I mean, this stuff's got to be nasty, you know. So that's pretty much what we're dealing with, you know. We got to, you know, go in through PR, is that what PR they call it now? PR, I use PI, public relations, and put up a, you know, posters in these fucking pain management places, you know. I mean, this, we gotta go and find where these people are dying. This is where they're getting them at. You know? And these are people that have never been addicts in their life. You know? I'm all over the place, I know that, so bear with me, and if, when we get close to time, just, you know, give me the signal. But, you know, I just, you know, like Danny, me and Danny, you know, I met Danny through a guy that I sponsored who passed, you know, OD'd and died. You know, the reality of this shit is, you know, always in our face. You know, if you've been here a while, if you haven't, you stay, you're going to go to a lot of funerals. You know, hopefully there'll be people who, you know, stuck and stayed and did what they had to do and they didn't use. But then there's those people, too, that, you know, may have carried the message to you and used, you know. So we got to really stay close to each other, man. You know, we got to get a lot of hugs. You know, when the second sedition, I think it's the second, it talks about, you know, we really got to go, when things come up in group conscience, consult our high, go and take the time and consult our higher power before we come back with our, because if we don't, we're coming back with our sickness, right? That's all we're coming back with, our self-will and this and that. You know, so that's like it's important to have steps in your life before you, you know, get into all this service, right? Because, you know, and this is stuff people have said, you know, there's recovery-based service and there's service-based recovery, right? You got to think about that for a minute, you know. But I think if we, you know, continue to look at each other and, you know that we are all part of each other, we're going to be okay. You know, we are going to be okay. You know, I look around in here and we are all part of each other. You know, that's for real. You know, that's one thing our sponsor taught me, and I really believe it. Like, there's really only one of us in here right now. You know, and whatever you know, God, you choose to, you know, have, is, you know, there's one God, whatever name you call him, that's fine. You know what I mean? This is the thing, so we don't start separating ourselves from each other. Because what is this disease? It's a disease of separation. This is how it comes at us. It tries to separate us from each other. You know? So we start, you know, getting into all these things, and we, you know, when you start feeling that separate, and then the isolation comes, and that's, you know, that's when we start, you separate ourselves from the atmosphere of recovery, and that's when we lose people. So, you know, we got to continue to do what our predecessors used to do. You know, if you're in a home group and you got somebody's number and they don't show up, we got to call them. You know, it's not like, oh, fuck him, he didn't make the meeting. You know, because that's easy to say nowadays. You know, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. Oh, he used, he that, you know. It's always but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, Bob P. says the longer we're clean, the closer we are to using. Ain't that's messed up, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You know. We can't get so well in here thinking that, you know, we don't have to continue to do this, you know. You know, Just for the Day talked about that, renewing that faith that gave us the courage. You know, we live by faith in here, don't we? Right? There's a lot of uncertainty. Addicts want to be addicted to certainty. You know? It's impossible. You know? You know, so I'm just real grateful that, you know, somehow God continues to send you angels into my life, my sponsees or whoever, to make me feel like I'm still have something to offer. Because I'm not, you know, I'm on Social Security. I don't see money. My son lost his job. He's staying with, now my sister got in divorce. She's coming to live with me. You know, but the you know, like I said, it doesn't stop, because like my son's doing real good now. He got out of prison, did all that time, taking care of his daughter. And now I have all these other things, you know. You know, I have somebody that loves me very dearly, and I'm learning after all these years how to let myself be loved. You know, I just, you know, always think like it's not gonna be, you know. It's not gonna last, you know. Like this, I still have that low self-esteem. But I come in here and you guys, you know, help me continue to do esteemable things. You know, and give me the information that I need. I have to continue to rely upon you guys, you know. We have a disease that wants us to, you know, right? As, like, don't stop relying. You don't need that much help no more, you know? And the reality is, we need more fucking help. We need more help, you know? I don't care how long you're clean. You know, this disease is progressive even during abstinence. That's the bitch about what we're dealing with here, right? It's progressive. So, you know, we start walking around without treating our disease, man. That's, you know, because they used to tell you, you're an addict walking around without treating your disease. Like me, I don't take my HIV medication. You know, we treat it with the 12 steps, the principles. You know, we learn about the principles contained within the steps, right? That was always the thing. We were always talking about things, and it wasn't until we learned about the principles that are contained within the steps. And how that in with the defects, in order to get something, you got to give something up. You know, I mean, if you're anything like me, lust dragged me through these rooms like the drugs dragged me through the streets. You know, but thank God I was like, I'm open about what I have. You know, and there's nobody that could come in these rooms and say Ralph gave me this. You know. Because I, you know, and that's a test to the thing to Narcotics Anonymous. That I speak, I do other things for HIV causes. I've done, but I'm like, if you step to me, you know what's going on. You know, and I wanted to keep that a secret, and I relapsed. And maybe that's why I wanted to keep it a secret. You know. But you know. What did it say? If it don't come out in the wash, it comes out in the rinse, right? Everything will be exposed. It's going to be exposed, whatever it is we do. So, but, you know, us being addicts, we will not give anything up until we know for absolutely that we know we're going to get busted. I mean, that's just who we are, you know. So my recovery it's been ugly, but it's gotten better. I have a lot of abstinence time from tricking, right? But how did that come as a result? So with that girl that I picked up, she started sponsoring a lot of people. So I was still, my behavior had continued. So we were both doing H&I. A girl goes to pull her out the H&I, no, pulls me out the H&I line, asks me if I had the virus. This is a girl that was tricking in the street, right? And I said, no. You know, she gets out the line. This is our main H&I, the jail we do. My girl's doing the woman's. That girl asked her to sponsor her, the one that I fucking messed around with. You know, I get her in the car and drive all the way down to Baltimore. And right before I get to my sponsor's house, I tell her. You know, like it was coming out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it was crazy. You know, but you got to get in there. You know, like I try to help. I was passing literature in HIV in the jail. You know, to this guy that I felt like he needed some information. I broke. You know, they treated me. They were gonna keep me. It was like contraband. You know, I mean, we learned some stuff. I learned the traditions by breaking some, but. I'm thankful to the people that stepped to me and you know, we shouldn't be scared to do that. We do it in a caring, loving way, you know. So, you know, this is about coming here and exposing myself. This is the hardest thing for addicts to do, you know. And when we're not alone with it, it doesn't consume us. You know, because I've seen, it doesn't matter, you know, even Gene to tell you, notebooks upon writings and this and that. And it doesn't, nothing exempts us from pain. Clean time doesn't, no matter how much writing, you know, we always have to come back and rely on each other and get humble and rely upon the love that, you know, hopefully you have developed relationships with people in here to get us through. You know, that's the only way I know how to stay clean. And it's hard. I've had to come and, you know, really get honest about some stuff. I've cried in meetings. I've there's a lot of fear that, you know, goes on in my life. Like, I got, you know, renal failure going on now. You know, my disease says stop taking those meds because that's, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But I still say, God, my life is yours. Do with me as you will. You know, I mean, and I thank God for healing me every day of my life, no matter what's going on. You know, there's something, and it even says it in the literature, we tend to live what we believe. Right? It doesn't matter how silent those prayers you guys are, that's energy you're putting out there. If you think about it, you pretty much have gotten everything you ever wanted. Whether you were obsessing about that woman, whether you're obsessing about this or that, you know, right? It's one of those things like we pray for something and then we talk about asking God to remove it. Has anybody got experience with that stuff? You know, this is where the identification comes in. This is where we're getting to the exact nature, you know. So, you know, if you're new, or if you've been around, it doesn't matter, you know. Let's continue to, you know, expose yourself as much as you can to someone you trust. You know, and that's important. That's important. There's got to be a trust, because once, you know, that's a big thing. There's things that, you know I will go to my grave with that people have shared with me. You know, it's a little, you know, it could get a little crazy. This guy walked up to me years ago. He says, you know, I want to do my fifth step with you. I was sponsoring him because I know, he said to me, you know, you're probably going to die, so you're not going to be able to tell nobody. I said, this is not a lie. This is not a lie. You know, I said, all right, whatever, you know, if that's what, you know. He couldn't get it. He died. He died as a result of this, you know. It's like, Mikey D, was then a comedian, he passed on. But it's like here, what he said, you know, the doctor says, you know, get everything in order, you know, prepare, you know. And that was 20 years ago, and Mikey's doctor that told it to him, he's the one that passed away. You know what I mean? So, like, we really, you know, when we put God and love into the equation, it changes the whole thing. It changes the whole thing. There's something really powerful about this, you know? And it started like, you know, even what, just the two little groups, bringing all these people with this great information here. Two little groups. Danny, who's been, you know, moved from PA to Missouri, and now he's back, and, you know, and all you guys that helped put this together, you know, That's some powerful stuff, man. You know, you brought in some big guns. You know, I was thinking, man, I gotta follow all these people. You know, well, I'll be all right because I ain't gotta have no facts, dates. I'm not an idiot savant. You know, I can't remember dates. You know, I said I'm just gonna go up there and, you know, maybe I can never not think. I can't even think about writing down anything because I'll get all messed up. You know, I just come up here. People say, did you pray? And I said, I prayed, but I need you to pray for me also. You know, I got to keep relying. You know, the more I rely on God and on you guys, the more independent I can be. You know, anybody give me tea? Yes, okay. Thank you. But, you know, I just want to tell you guys I love you and thank you for, you know, breathing life back into me. You know, we literally breathed life back into each other. I think Vito said it. We raised, you know, it's the Lazarus effect of something going on here. You know, we spiritually, we come back alive and we could be, you know, I'm going to end with this. It says in the first edition that we are loved for who we are, not in spite, right? If even though we're feeling all ugly, that's important because I always felt like I had to justify my existence, like it says in the 10th step. You know, I always felt like, you know, excuse me, can I breathe some of this air that's in this room? This is how low my self-esteem was. You know? I mean, you know, I was able to come in here and say I'm a bed, I pissed the bed till I was 13 years old. Most bedwetters turn out to be murderers, you know. I was able to, you know, come in here and be free. And, right? So I was loved and accepted for who I am, not in spite. Right? We don't gotta hide no more. We don't have to hide no more. You can be you. It's okay. You know? And with that, I just want to, you know, thank the committee and God, and everybody have a safe travels home. And please keep me in your prayers. I sure will keep you guys in my prayers. I'm an addict, Nimrod. Thanks for letting me share.